Today we honor another remarkable holy woman of the church, St. Margaret Mary. As I said, she's something like the St. Faustina of the devotion to the Sacred Heart. St. Faustina, of course, is the messenger of divine mercy. St. Margaret Mary, you could call her the messenger or the secretary of the heart of Jesus, Sacred Heart of Jesus. So yesterday we had a remarkable holy woman, Spanish Carmelite, Saint Teresa. And today another remarkable holy woman, a French woman, who joined the community of the Visitation Sisters. I brought here to the podium my Liturgy of the Hours book because I was struck again by the description of these two women in the Liturgy of the Hours. It says here that St. Margaret Mary, born in 1647, she joined the Sisters of the Visitation, where she advanced in the life of perfection and was favored with mystical revelations. It's a little summary of her life. She advanced in the life of perfection and was favored with mystical revelations. It sounds very similar to what was said yesterday about St. Teresa. St. Teresa of Avila says that she was born in Spain in 1515. She joined the Carmelite order, made great progress in the way of perfection, and enjoyed mystical revelations. Something about that language always sounds comical to me, as if she just enjoyed mystical revelations like a hobby. Some of the sisters enjoy gardening. Some people enjoy playing music. Where in her free time she would enjoy mystical revelations. That's what it sounds like, which of course is not accurate. Both of these sisters, who were chosen by God and given specific gifts or charisms, also suffered very much. Not only from the experience, but also from the responsibility of sharing it with others. So, in fact, even from their own communities, they suffered a lot, both St. Teresa and St. Margaret Mary. So what happens when people enjoy mystical revelations? I don't think it's the right language, but when people receive gifts of the Spirit like this, one of the first things that they experience is a profound sense of their own unworthiness, if they're authentic people. I mean, people who boast about their spiritual life don't get this. But the saints, when they reflect on what they have received, are struck by how unworthy they are, what a privilege it is. Who am I? Who am I to be given this? That's one experience, which is, of course, experience of humility and of gratitude, but also it's a kind of suffering because it's humiliation. Now what? Now that God has given me this. And then as they are then held responsible for these gifts and have to communicate them with others, at least with their spiritual directors or their superiors or their communities, then they run into this judgment and criticism and all sorts of accusations about how they're trying to pretend they're holier than everyone else. And it's a terrible torment to stand before skeptics or opponents and proclaim the truth with love. In that sense, both Sister St. Teresa of Avila and St. Margaret Mary, they're both in the line of the prophets, because prophets are chosen by God, messengers of God, and when they share their message, they are persecuted. In the case of today's St. Margaret Mary, of course, she received insight, you could say mystical revelations, into the divine love contained fully in this human heart of Jesus. The devotion to the Sacred Heart is an extraordinary one, and it's largely because of Margaret Mary that we have access to this insight. And so when we celebrate the feast or the solemnity of the Sacred Heart, which is usually in June, we ponder this. But here we're honoring the woman who was chosen to give this insight to the church. Okay, well, let's, now that we're enjoying mystical revelations here, let's enjoy the Word of God, which is a privilege to all of us. And every day when we come to the liturgy, we're given this privilege which we are not worthy of, to hear the word of God. Today's gospel does not seem like a privilege, because it sounds like Jesus is being very harsh to his listeners. These are scribes and Pharisees, scholars of the law. And he says, well, you people, you're building monuments to the prophets whom your ancestors killed, and that just means you're just as guilty as they are. You're just as responsible as they are for the blood of these prophets. It's quite a strong thing to say that you, his audience, will be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. There's a lot of mention of blood here, and not in a good sense. You're guilty, you'll be held guilty for the shedding of all this blood. Now that, we have to understand not in the literal sense, I mean, because we are not guilty of the sins of other people. We're not guilty of the sins of our ancestors in the same way that we're guilty of our own sins. But Jesus is revealing here an attitude, a dangerous spiritual condition, which is to claim to accept the word of God revealed through the prophets without actually following it, which is hypocrisy. So this is a continuation of what we've been hearing the last couple of days, of Jesus' strong words against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He says it in this very strong way about being charged with the blood of all the prophets. Well, it's like saying, if you follow in the footsteps of the hypocrites who went before you, and you align yourself with the spirit of hypocrisy, well then, yes, you receive the same punishment. So naturally, because the scribes and Pharisees were not open to the words of the prophets, they're not open to the words of Jesus either. And it says at the end of the gospel, they began to act with hostility toward him. Well, they were already pretty hostile, but that hostility grows as their hearts harden. Jesus, of course, his sacred heart, is never hardened against anyone, even against the worst sinners. He's not hardened against the scribes and Pharisees. He's trying to reach them. He's trying to penetrate that veneer of hypocrisy which has become hardness of heart. And so he's willing to risk his own suffering, he's willing to risk the retaliation of these scribes and Pharisees in order to save them. Which brings us to the blood, which is of greatest significance. Yes, the martyrs died for their witness to God, in fulfillment of their mission. And the blood of the martyrs, martyred prophets, is a value. But there's no comparison to the blood of Jesus. And this is what St. Paul brings up in the first reading. So there's a lot of emphasis on blood in the readings today. But the blood of Christ is what justifies us. The blood of the prophets does not, whether we honor them or not. That's not what makes the ultimate difference in our relationship with God. But the blood of Jesus makes all the difference. And this is what St. Paul is talking about here. First of all, he acknowledges that all of us are sinners. All of us are unworthy of the gift of salvation. And none of us can claim righteousness or justice before God. None of us. He even says it very bluntly here. There is no distinction between the Jews or the Gentiles. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. We are born into a sin condition, and we contribute to the sin condition we have. So we have no grounds for boasting about good things we may or may not have done. And we have no grounds for boasting of enjoying mystical revelations either. Any graces that we have received are not because we're such great people that God's rewarding us. That's the wrong understanding. In fact, it's a terrible distortion. So what's the truth? The truth is that we are justified, and this is the language of St. Paul, we're justified by grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood. There it is, the blood, the sacrifice, the outpoured love of Jesus Christ is what makes it possible for us to be righteous. So he's pouring his own righteousness on us and washing us clean with his blood. So what's the boast? The boast is never about ourselves. It's always about Jesus Christ. What occasion is there then for boasting? It is ruled out. On what principle? That of works? Obviously not. There's no amount of good works, including building tombs of the prophets or monuments to the prophets, no amount of good works will ever make us righteous in the eyes of God. Rather, he says, on the principle of faith, for a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is very good news. This is something to celebrate. And this is what St. Margaret Mary and St. Teresa and all the saints rejoice in. They say, even though I'm unworthy and my community is unworthy and we are all unworthy, even though it's true we are sinners and we have been deprived, justly deprived of the glory of God, even though all that's true, God has decided to reverse that terrible condition purely out of his love and make it possible for us to be not only set free from sin, but even to be glorified. There's no end to what is poured forth for us from the heart of Jesus. And this is the message that St. Margaret Mary was charged to give and dedicated her life to, making known this divine heart, this divine love, this divine mercy. One last thought that is, I think, very fitting for this reflection comes from today's Psalm. Psalm 130, the response we repeated, with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. With the Lord there is mercy, thanks be to God, because we're sinners, but mercy that's to the fullest extent, to the point of fullness of redemption. This psalm starts out with this cry from the depths. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. De profundis is the name of this psalm in Latin. De profundis, out from the deepest abyss, from the abyss of my sin, of my darkness, maybe on the verge of despair, of hopelessness, I cry out to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. I'm at the low point here. I have no one to turn to, and I have no grounds for boasting. But I call out to you, and lo and behold, the Lord pours out this abundance of mercy. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can sin? If you're going to pay attention only to our sins, well, the game's over. We have nothing to stand on. Who can stand? But with you is forgiveness. So this is the great message of the Sacred Heart, great message of today's saint. It's the message of our faith, that there's hope for sinners. In fact, there's joy for sinners. We have received much, and we have much to share in a world that's full of darkness, where there's many people in the depths of darkness, de profundis. And we have been given extraordinary message of hope and of mercy, of joy. So let us continue this journey of welcoming with joy the mercy of God, the heart of Jesus, and continuing the pilgrimage of hope with one another.